Imagine getting fired from your job, and as you walk out, HR tells you that it is now illegal for you to work in this industry anywhere in the country for 2 years.
I mean, that would be totally wild, right? But that is exactly what South Africa just did to its local politicians.
Yeah, so today we are doing a deep dive into a stack of sources on the South African Local Government Municipal Structures Amendment Act 2021.
Which I know sounds incredibly dry, but our mission here is to bypass all that dense legal jargon.
Exactly. We want to look at the actual mechanics of how a country engineers local political accountability. So, okay, let's unpack this. What does it actually take to structurally force a politician to be honest?
Well, it requires completely rewriting the foundational rule book. I mean, starting with the sheer size of the rooms where decisions are made. This act increases the minimum number of councillors per municipality from 7 up to 10.
Okay, so they are just adding more people.
Right, but at the same time, it entirely wipes out a classification called the plenary executive system.
Wait, plenary executive? Does that just mean, like, everyone is the boss?
Basically, yeah. In a plenary system, the entire council essentially acts as the executive body.
How does anything actually get done in a system like that?
Barely. There isn't a separate executive committee making the day-to-day decisions. And when your council only has 7 people, well, it becomes incredibly easy for one dominant personality to just sway a few votes.
Ah, and then they basically control the entire municipality.
Exactly. So what's fascinating here is the underlying intent behind wiping that out. By eliminating plenary systems and enforcing that baseline of 10 councillors, you decentralize power.
You're legally forcing a broader representation of local voices into the room.
Right, so decision-making can't be insulated among a tiny, agreeable clique.
That makes total sense. It is like a startup company.
Yeah.
When you only have a tiny team of founders, everyone just does everything.
Oh, for sure. It's fast, but super risky.
Yeah, and as you grow, you outgrow those founders. You eventually need a larger, proper board of directors to prevent a few people from running the whole show unchecked.
But, you know, bringing more voices into the room creates a whole new vulnerability.
Right, because you decentralize power to 10 people. But now you just have 10 people who could potentially collude to mismanage funds.
Exactly. Who is actually watching them? That is where the Mandatory Municipal Public Accounts Committee comes in.
Oh, okay.
Prior to this, oversight could be, well, somewhat localized or fragmented, but now every single council must establish this committee to review Auditor General reports and monitor the finances.
And I noticed the most crucial detail here is the guest list, or rather the banned list.
Yes, the ban is key.
The act explicitly bans the mayor, the deputy mayor, the speaker, and the whips from sitting on this committee.
Which is brilliant.
It really is. It was like making sure the person writing the checks isn't the exact same person auditing the bank statements. You just can't grade your own homework.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, it tells us that true oversight requires absolute independence.
Completely separate.
Right. The people spending the money and making the executive decisions absolutely cannot be the same people reviewing the audits of that spending. The act physically separates the power from the scrutiny.
But, I mean, oversight is really just a report on a desk unless it has actual teeth. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, the penalty phase.
Yeah. Under Schedule 7, which is the new code of conduct, if a councillor is removed from office for breaching the code, they are legally banned from standing as a candidate in any municipal election for 2 years.
It is a complete forced political exile.
Wait, a 2-year ban across the entire country? Isn't that incredibly harsh? I mean, what if a councillor just makes, like, a careless administrative mistake?
Well, the law is rigid for a very specific reason. This isn't designed to punish clerical errors.
Okay, so it's for the big stuff.
Right. It is triggered when a councillor is formally removed from office for violating the core ethical code of their position. We so often just rely on the honor system,
hoping that public shaming or, like, a small fine will correct bad behavior.
Exactly. But this act argues that ethics must be enforced with severe, non-negotiable consequences. You break the public trust, and you are automatically locked out of the system.
It really makes you look at your own local city council differently. Yeah. We always focus on electing good people, but this act proves we should really be focused on building systems where even bad people can't do damage.
Absolutely. Whether you are designing a corporate workflow, managing a community board, or voting in a local election, good behavior requires structural guardrails.
Not just good intentions.
Exactly. You have to build the machine so it physically cannot malfunction.
Which leaves a lingering question for you to mull over. If local municipal leaders face an automatic, non-negotiable 2-year political exile for ethical breaches, how would global politics change if supreme national leaders faced the exact same rigid, codified exile for their missteps?